brief statement on where we are in the process, and why don't you ask some questions that may further stimulate your thoughts. Some things we've been thinking about. I think it was a week or a couple of weeks ago that we first announced it. We would have at least one session, maybe a couple of sessions, where people could provide some input to your own thinking or your own room. And just briefly, the gift of Attorney Dort was given by Tom, who happens to be here tonight, which is nice, and we can get some of his input and his father-in-law, Mike, with him. This occurred in really July of this year, and then the board went through a process of making the decision as to whether the village would be able to accept the gift. It's always an important decision, because naturally there will be some quite a bit potentially of financial involvement for the village involved in other future development. It wasn't really until I guess October when the final decision was made by the board. I guess it was in August that the decision was made by the board to accept the gift. And then we started working with the Forest Service as to the transfer of the present use permit, because the SERM is all Forest Service property, approximately 50 acres in the whole what's called the Lucerne Bar, which is the fan of property down there at the base of Devil's Creek. And out of that 50 acres, there's only 3 acres that's private property, so that the rest of it potentially is available for development, at least it's owned by the Forest Service. And since that time, then, that we've been working with the Forest Service on the transfer of the present use permit, which has been accomplished now. And we had one meeting with the Forest Service on the 10th of January, after the decision was made. It made official that the village would take over the permit. And the Forest Service is came from the supervisor's office in Wenatchee and also the district ranger's office in Chelan to work with a team that our board has set up, comprised of Vernon Reese, the chairman of our board, and Chris and myself. And so the three of us plus the team of the Forest Service people will be working together in these next months to come up with a long-range plan. And the lease that we have now with the Forest Service for the CERN is a one-year lease. And during this year, the main obligation that we'll have is to come up with a long-range plan, master plan, which then will be reviewed, and if accepted by the Forest Service, will result in a long-term lease, but temporary lease. And then development could actually begin. So we're in the
first step in a moment. To me, it's been kind of interesting that usually government and other bureaus, one kind or another, work on the basis of somebody carrying a request or a proposal, sending it, they review it, take a look at it, send it back for modification. It may be accepted, usually wanting to modify it, then you send it back and get back and forth and back and forth on a kind of a tennis court type of a mode of operation. But one of the things that was impressive to me was the thing that we were just talking about, that there is a joint working committee on this thing that shortcuts that process, where instead of having to send it back and forth on every tiny little proposal to see how they react to it, and whether you can trim it down to what they like. They themselves thought at that meeting when we had in October for two were suggested that we set up a joint committee which would shorten up that whole process and expedite the whole thing. But I'll finally come up into a plan. So we'll have a pretty good idea at the time, sometime towards the end of the year, we'll have a pretty good idea that the plan is acceptable to the Forest Service, because they will have been involved with all the way along in the plan. Then that full plan will have to be finally accepted. But that part shows a cordiality on the part of the Forest Service and a willingness to cut through the usual bureaucratic red tape to arrive at some answers to what we're going to do, if anything.
Yeah, and it's really beginning to find accepted will probably be the least of the problems because of that fact. The assistant force supervisor, who by nature of his position is very powerful, you know, in the decision-making process, is really sitting in with us and dreaming with us, and no doubt some of his ideas are going to be in the final plan. So that, again, when we put together that, the final plan, it's going to be, you know, part theirs and part ours, and there really won't be any question about it being accepted. So it is a different approach than we've been used to in the past. Like at the village here, anything we've done, it's always been from us going down to the district ranger's office, and then if they like the plan and if it's necessary for it to go beyond, then they put it to the supervisor's office, and depending on the nature of the plan, then it has to go to the regional office in Portland, and any one of those places that can, you know, get shelved and never come up again. And now this way we have not only the district people working with us, or we working with them, but also the supervisor's office. So we're really halfway there already, or three quarters of the way there. So we're in that process at this meeting in January now. It was the Forest Service that had the floor in a sense, and they came up with some sort of baseline criteria of what they would like to have us consider, not in any specific way, but in a very general way, in terms of you know, how much of the property should you look at. And the answer to that was the whole 50 acres. You know, don't confine yourself to the 8 acres that's presently in the lease down there now, but take a look at the whole area and come up with plans for, you know, utilizing the whole thing. And, you know, is there anything that should be eliminated initially? And the answer is no. You know, it's right at this point anyway, everything is possible down there, even from the standpoint of moving the existing main dock that were, you know, was only built, you know, 1970. You know, that's not likely to be done, but this is how open they are to considering total change down there. And changing the whole, you know, the whole nature of what we've known as Lucerne and the shape of it even. So that's sort of where we sit. Now the next step in the process will be getting to the Forest Service before the middle of February an initial list of those buildings that we'll be using for this summer. And then the reason for that really is twofold. One would be that then by the end of February, they'll be inviting in the county fire marshal and for an inspection of those buildings that we'll plan to use, so that we'll have a chance to do any updating of those buildings before the summer begins. And then I think the 15th or 16th of March, another meeting has tentatively been set where we would have the floor, so to speak, where we then would present to the Forest Service, again on a very broad basis, some hopes that we have down there, primarily in terms of programming, because until we come up with some programming ideas, it's really not possible to think of facilities. So that'll be the first thing to do, is come up with some program concepts. And facilities may not really be considered until, you know, maybe the fall, or at least until program concepts are decided on. So that's where we are in the process. And now maybe you want to ask some questions.
Property includes work club cabins?
No, that's private property. And so
that's part of the Getty.
Yeah. Now that would be the only thing down there that would be excluded. But the one thing that we hope to do, and we've made contact with the boat club, is sometime probably in February or March to meet with the boat club and get some input from them as to what they would like to see in terms of Lucerne. You know, their residents down there, what public services they would hope, you know, would either remain there or could be added. And
does include refrigerated
car
within? Yeah.
As it may, the opportunity includes everything. Mm. It, however, doesn't necessarily require that we would end up with something for every square inch of ground down there.
But that refrigerated
harbor is part of the Well, it's part of the bar, and we are now with the Forest Service taking a look at potential Holden involvement in any part
therefore up to all of the bar that is not privately owned. Is that another way of saying it? So it could be that we would end up at the end of the year when the plans are all done with, say, the present, how much is that, Tom? What's the present acreage?
This is slightly under, maybe around 10 acres.
About 10 acres of the present Holden Resort. Now, it could end up with just that part. It could end up that, well, of course, it could end up that by that time we decide, or together with Forest Service, we decide that there's really no future in this forest down there. We don't want to go into it at all. This year is a year of working out a program with the kind of a assumption that we're all serious about going ahead with it. But the definite description of it and the final plans of it would have to go finally to Forest Service and to Holden Corporation for final acceptance. But it could include, and probably would include, major portion of the total bar area, which is considerably larger than the present Holden Resort. Resort.
Where would the capital come from for this development, if it were to come? Is that up to the Holden Corporation, or is that?
Maybe some parts that Forest Service can help with as far as improvements are concerned.
I think that by and large, though, it wouldn't be government. You know, we wouldn't receive any government financing. It would be our initiative to look for the funds, and where they might provide something would be, let's say, in terms of services that could serve the entire area, like a water system. It might be that they would elect to put in a water system that would serve the whole area, or if they may say, you do it, and then we'll pay you for, you know, the water. But I think that would be the only place where they would become involved in financing. But
possibly some harbor development.
Yeah. It might even be that the boat club would get involved in financing of some harbor developments if they would have use of it, or again it would be developed with them leasing or renting space. It would be to our advantage to since our capital is limited, to add cooperative efforts with such groups as the boat club, so that they can contribute and we both gain without spending the capital.
Financial feasibility is always an important thing on this. You might dream and then set priorities on the things that you, out of your dreams that you'd like to go for. But the final test is, can you find somebody who's willing to bankroll it or not? And it's interesting, in the last mailing that we had, reporting on giving during this year to the individuals, a number of people who had written in saying, hey, we're here about Lucerne, will there be an opportunity to find out more about this and to contribute to it? Mm-hmm. Already there are people who are thinking about that. I suppose that rather large, wouldn't you wonder, that they probably have to find a portion of the total program down there. Find a way to finance it, if that's possible. Go ahead with that, with the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle fitting in together. Or that's not a good analogy, but parts that do not necessarily mean that the whole project has to be completed within any given time or even ever completed. But each section of it standing somewhat on itself, but fitting into an integrated plan for the whole.
What are the guidelines or present stipulations of forming the historic community of Lucerne? Is there any requirement such as having facilities for transit people between Stehekin and Chelan or any places down there? What kind of guidelines do you have?
I don't think there are any guidelines. I think that the one thing that is apparent is that the only way that we could ever develop Lucerne would be that it is more public, just because of the nature of its location on the lake. And I think from the very beginning, it's been sort of understood that whatever is done down there, at least for the summer months, would be certainly more public than what the village is. And such things as a youth hostel type of building, so that there would be inexpensive accommodations for hikers. The PUD since they have a license, a federal power license for the lake, and if they have a federal power license, then they're required to put a certain amount of revenue back into recreational development of such as Lake Chelan. And their proposal right now that's being considered as a new license is coming up for approval is that there would be a joint project with the Forest Service and Park Service on a trail that would start down 25 miles. Mm-hmm. And it would come from 25 miles to Lucerne, and then there would be a shuttle boat across to Morris Point. And then that's potentially another Forest Service campground, and then the trail would continue on to Stehekin. So theoretically, it would be possible to hike from 25 miles to Stehekin with a, you know, sort of a stop, you know, through Lucerne. And if that were the case, that undoubtedly would draw a lot of hiking traffic. And then, you know, accommodations such as a hospital type building would, you know, would be well utilized.
Wouldn't giving this, you know, kind of public and the public access, would that, do you think that Fulton would open the taxi service with that keep running over?
I guess a couple of possibilities. One would be that, yeah, it would just keep going more or less as it is. And for this next summer, we would plan to keep the taxi service open unless we cannot get insurance that would be financially feasible for us to do. And then we would have to request that that service be dropped. The other thing is that you probably have heard some talk about the old River Creek Trail, which runs down the south side of the valley here. It was abandoned sometime during the mining days and hasn't been maintained since that time, but the basic trail bed is in pretty good shape. There would have to be some bridges replaced. A lot of brushing done, but most of that can be done on a volunteer basis. If that trail is reestablished, of course, that would mean that there would be a good trail from Lucerne on into the wilderness area, and then very likely the taxi would be dropped as soon as that comes in, because the philosophy of the Forest Service on the wilderness is that they don't want to restrict the use of the wilderness, but they try to make the access to the wilderness easy. And whereas the Park Service has just the opposite philosophy, where they encourage access and make access to their areas easy, but then they put restrictions on the number that can be in there. And
the Forest Service is discriminatory against some of us who are eccentric.
Yeah.
Yeah. They either walk or they go. No, that'd be an exciting one, wouldn't it? To have that from here down, you know, to the Donkey Junction Trail and then down the hill. That'd be a nice one to have. And that looks like very much in the total picture.
Yeah. The Forest Service, when we first brought it up, I think they were all for us doing it, but they didn't have any funds for it, so that they said, you know, we'll let you do it as long as you do it according to our specifications. But now the last time we talked about it, they're even talking about putting one paid employee on, like, for a summer to work with our volunteers. And then they would also do the bridge work, or at least engineer it and, you know, help supervise it. So that they're very much interested in getting that trail reestablished, partially to take the pressure off of the wilderness area. And they admit that this is partially their problem. You know, we are here and we bring a lot of people into the area, but since there aren't many alternatives to trails, it's natural that most people head into the wilderness. And so it's up to them to develop some other trail systems to take pressure off of the wilderness.
If you had it, now, if we had that thing down there, what would you like to see done?
I would basically like to see it open up as a somewhat of a public resort, only still having the possibilities of fellowship, you know, still retaining a Christian atmosphere. But have it open as a public resort where people can come in and stay and go out fishing or go hiking down the lake. But basically leave it the way it was. Only do the renovations necessary to be able to maintain it.
I would kind of like to see it kept pretty much the way it is, small, not made into a big campground area. That I would be afraid of that.
Will the 3-2 liquor license or whatever it is be retained down there?
There's some policy question on that, but I would think most likely the
3-2
license would be retained. Probably not a hard liquor license.
Yeah, the present plan, like for the summer, would be to operate a store, but not a restaurant. And if beer is sold, it would be sold, you know, as a store item, not for drinking in a bar or something like this, but as a store item. So.
Right.
The two or three things that Forest Service, in being a spokesman for the public, is rather strongly urging us to continue. One would be that store, so that people coming up late by boat, if they need some staple things, can drop in and get them. Second thing is that taxi service. We'd like very much for the time being, at least that will continue. So we will try to accommodate that so that people can, as in the past, be able to come up the valley and enter the wilderness area until something changes in that whole picture, like the trail. And the third thing is that the gas dock down there, so that boats that are up late will have some place to pick up gasoline. Between that long haul, you can be all the way from 25 miles to Christmas to Deacon. Anybody running out of gas in the place in between there is in trouble. They're serious trouble with this kind of lake with a high sides on it, very few places to tuck in. So those three things, I suppose, are things that for the time being, they would very much like to have continue. And we probably will.
I have an idea. You said you just dream. And one of my dreams for a long time has been some kind of a school of the arts where it's a combination of visual arts and music and writing and just a large type of thing, using seminars, using people from across the country who are willing to either donate their time or get minimal pay, coming to share what they have in the forms of either artist in residence or in seminars, as I mentioned. Perhaps it could even be year-round, doing 3-month sessions, you know, in do like a combination of visual and picture media, maybe for 3 months, or and then the next 3 months go into something like dance and something else combining. Just drawing on the resources that we have in this country, basically keeping it Christian oriented, but I was talking with Scott Bacon, and one thing that he said was that I'm not sure if I agree with this or not, but I'll just say it anyway. He said it would be good to not force it to be Christian, you know, very, very strongly, therefore opening it up to a lot of people who would come up there and be influenced by what would naturally be there anyway if Holden were, if it were under the auspices of Holden. And just trying to see a way to open it up to as many people to come and be touched as possible, I think that would be one really good way. That would still only be a small part of the whole land down there, I think. Still have a lot more room to expand. But I've had that dream for a long time, to be able to find a place where, as Christians, we can come together and share and learn from each other in the different media.
Talked about something similar to that with Joel and Sarah Cleet back in Minneapolis after we got the Holden letter about the surf. And I think that would be a really good idea, where it can be more of an educational setting than really a ministerial type setting. But also be open to a place for the arts in the church, because it really isn't a place where the visual arts are encouraged in the church anywhere today. You know, there's Rich Kemmerer and John Moxted and Jack Ledbetter, who are the three that I know have interest in that area. But I think that this might be a really exciting program for someone to do, and maybe the village would be a good place.
One thing that, you know, when you consider these things both tonight and, you know, the next months to also consider, you know, like this idea of an arts school, you know, how would this relate to the public nature of the CERN, or would it have to, or would it make any difference? And then also, you know, would it work on a, you know, part-year basis? Would it have to be year-round? That type of thing. Because one possibility would be that it, the CERN would be more public in the summer, you know, like from June until through September, and then it could concentrate on more of a program, you know, the other months. And, you know, then in a sense you have the best of both worlds. You're serving the public when the public is there, mm-hmm. and you're also having a facility that can be utilized for programming.
Mm-hmm. Maybe even something that could be hooked up with colleges like St. Olaf or Luther or any college for some kind of academic credit, like they come up for, say, a semester and study with such and such a person on such and such a topic. And there might even be money available for that kind of program development, like the Mellon Foundation, stuff like that. I know there's been some work with the Allegheny Art at St. Olaf on Mellon grant, which paid faculty for college.
You know, along this line, there was at the very start of the conversation, there was some hesitancy on the part of a lot of people, some of them Bolden people, some of them Forest Service people, to get Fulton involved down there because it becomes like a Lutheran Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Also that it becomes then a Fulton program down there. Thinking in terms of what goes on at this place, supposedly. But as the conversations have gone on, there's been an interesting thing. At first, emphasis was on serving the public. But one of the Forest Service people, the assistant supervisor, of course, was the one I think that said, well, now we have to keep in mind that Holden is also our public. Talking now from the Forest Service standpoint. Simply that they regard Holden as part of the public to be served by the Forest Service. So then to facilitate something that we are doing here with this is within keeping, as long as it doesn't become exclusively service to that which is in narrow definitions Holden. Now, we spoke just as eloquently, I think, in those meetings about the desire of the church to serve people. Not necessarily in the same way as we serve in that Poland in this program. This is appropriate for this place. It's the way it's developed. Down there we can do some other things. And I would think that something like School of Fine Arts could be certainly seriously considered. Richard and I just came back from Banff where we saw one of these things in operation up there in that avenue public, but it's just fantastic. Just really animated. So I would jump in a hurry on some of this sort of thing, just having seen one working up there. Then the two other suggestions here about keeping it somewhat as it is, but a place where people can stop. This happens to key in with some things that have been more and more in the front of my thinking the last 10 years or so, where I suspect that the church is going to write some words in capital letters in the near future. I think the church does this from age to age and different things get to be emphasized. Organization structure, order were big words back a while ago when we were finding our own identity in the church and in new lands and etc. But I suspect that both as far as the character of the age is concerned and maybe the maturity of the church, we're ready to risk more. And words like salt and light and leaven will be the big words in the church in the coming time. And this gives us an opportunity down there to start, if I'm right on that, it gives us a chance to start being salt and light and leaven in something that isn't traditional church activity, organization, form, structure. Some of the other things that have been proposed for down there are strongly in favor of teaching the public something of use to them, like in ecology, energy. Some of you know that Meredith is in Massachusetts studying some very interesting thing there, where we might be able down there to copy some parts of it, where you tie together fish culture, which is much more feasible down there with a 20 degree water temperature change or something like that, and hydroponic gardening, where they kind of complement each other, couple into it some solar energy. And with all the kinds of people we've got at Holden that are willing to give time and the benefit of their expertise, we can come up with some interesting demonstrations of ways in which we better accommodate ourselves to living at this time and in the future. Now, that could be a salt, light, leaven kind of service that has to do with the first article of the creeds of creation and an emphasis upon it. Something like that has been proposed. It's been proposed also that there might be some place down there for some people last summer, I think, proposed this, that place down there where some people facing retirement could come and have, there could be seminars provided teaching people how to get ready for retirement. Which could be a very useful kind of service. We bring them in here each fall, some of the people from the church that have to do with how you plan some of the things for retirement for the future. That could be done at a somewhat more conservative and profound level down there. A place to orient people a little bit before they go into the wilderness about how to behave themselves, how to respect the wilderness, how to have reverence for it, perhaps teach them a little bit about it so they might have reverence for it. And then also just a few do's and don'ts on how to survive and how to keep out of trouble. Some of this sort of thing could be done. It was Werner who suggested a kind of a museum thing that would have to do with the Lord of the Valley. A great treasure here. We respect the mine history, but down there there's a whole lot more, you see, or there's that adds to the mine history. And if you get people like Gordon and Sid and some of the others that know a lot about the valley to just tell us something about it, there may be a way in which we can put this into visual or audio forms down there so that people coming in can learn a little bit more about it and not walking upon a strange valley, but learn to know it a little bit better. Now, these are some kinds of things that have been thought about and will probably be thought about a great deal more before the next 6 months are over.
And the one thing, too, is considering the whole 50 acres are... that it would be possible to not overpopulate, you know, 50 acres and have, you know, one little section that might be sort of the history of, you know, the whole lake area, the valley, you know, with even a photo gallery of Paul Berkman's, you know, photos. And Bruce Singleton, who was another old timer on the lake, in fact, the oldest one to ever climb Mount Rainier. He started climbing when he was retired at 65, and then climbed Mount Rainier at 78 or something.
And then people could sit down there and do something like that, but that would be Gordon or Paul Berkman. No? I'm not just kidding. To preserve some of this.
But you could have your little camping area that would be completely separate, but still within easy walking access of the historical area, which would be easy walking access, but not visual, you know, within the visual sight of the area that would be your examples of ecology and, you know, future energy possibilities. So that, you know, that's, I think, another fun thing. With the opportunity to use the whole 50 acres, that, you know, you can really sit down from scratch, which we are, and design it from bottom up, and, you know, work on one, and maybe it's a 10 or 20 year plan, but that really doesn't make any difference. As long as it's planned out ahead of time, and then you work on one section, and when that's done, and you have enough money, you'll move to the next section.
Even that 50 acres isn't necessarily well defined or limited. Geologically, there's about a 50-acre area that is a bar of railroad that washed down Railroad Creek and deposited in the lake. But the Forest Service doesn't recognize a and be kind of a limit at that point. And it might, some programs might come up that would fit in to even move into the hill a little bit. So.
One aspect that I was thinking about is you know, a lot of it is really enriching that we're talking about. And I was thinking about the whole aspect of healing, you know, like to really have a healing ministry down there to some people that really are in need of healing. Because I know that this area, just the mountains and the trees and the quiet and nature all around is such a healing thing for people's hearts and their lives. And I think of the people in society that are broken, you know, people that would be benefited not just by being enriched by different things, but by being healed, you know, by being in an area where there's beauty and where there could be a really strong ministry developed. And I guess one thing that I think about, because there's such whole segments of our population of people that are just down and out, you know, just really down and out, that I think if we're called to be servants of God, that we really highly consider the people who need to have their lives healed. And one thing I was thinking of, and this sounds almost ludicrous to think of it because Lucerne is going to be such a public kind of place, but when I lived in Marshall, Minnesota, there were some alternative programs being talked about, and one of them was an alternative program to prison. And I don't know, I didn't go to any of the meetings except for the initial one, so I don't know what the alternatives were that were discussed. But I guess I'm really concerned about people whose lives have been broken. They've served time in prison, or they're about to begin time in prison, where, you know, what's going to happen to their human spirit is really bad news. And I just think about something along that order. And I've written to the woman in Marshall that was really involved in that and asked her to send information. Because I myself don't have any ideas, no clear-cut ideas, but outside of some sort of alternative, or maybe once people have been released, to have time to just recover, to have time to go somewhere, to be with their families before they have to get back into the mainstream of society. And I just really think about that, a healing kind of ministry. Yeah,
huh?
Yeah,
it's
like a
variation. Yeah. Even if that, you know, that sounds really exciting to me, but the feasibility of it may not be quite. Let me take off a little slightly different tack. To remove people who have already been removed is not always a good idea. Remove them from society. But there may be a training spot down there for people who are going to be healers and helpers. This could be in addition to a smaller operation. But we're not going to be able to take care of a large number in that category down there, I would think. But we could certainly do a lot of salting, blading, and leveling down there by training people. Mm-hmm. Now, where I'm coming from on this is a very exciting thing that we got into up at the study at the camp. And this will be, I'm sure, developing more and more now during this next year or two. But where people, alternative to prison, or some group home type of activity related like things of this nature, where they would come into homes within the congregation, and the group would be the congregation or a segment of the congregation, each one offering its own house and room and board and family life and fellowship to an individual. But the, say, 10 homes or 20 homes within the congregation becoming a group. Hearing? Mm-hmm. Then the congregation itself is involved right where the action is. Now, both of these things are necessary. It's a little difficult to make as much progress when you remove people who have already been removed. But we need to know how to return them, and a training center of some kind down there, where by working with some of the people in these categories, to train others from congregations, etc. So the congregation becomes enlivened. start scaring and start making the rubber hit the road instead of simply going through the usual things that companies go through where they get to work. I'm complimenting your idea, but so that we could use it perhaps in some way where congregations get introduced to ways in which the congregation can become more significant to me.
I just know that people's lives can really be transformed by Jesus. I just think that's what made me start thinking of a more ideal place for people to hear the word.
You know, the village has been this, and two or three significant cases, just like this, people coming from prison come up here. But it was a very long process, and so it was, it's not something that probably could be done in 1 month or 3 months. It might take 1 year or 2 years. So again, if this can be better done in a place like Mr. Aaron Holden or in the congregation, in the city where, I don't know what that
means. It can be done in all three. But where I was going with this one was that in addition to having something of that nature, we could make use of what goes on here as a way of getting congregations introduced and trained, because there you could take care of thousands, or we're going to take care of dozens of them to get congregations enlivened.
I'd like to hear some of what Tom's dreams are, or ideas are, if there's any that are different.
Yeah.
You basically have a lot more field for discernment than any of us people. You've seen it operating.
We've been involved in this for about 4 years, and looking at it from an aspect of serving the public, there are some private first set of four services that are interested in seeing definite public services that we have to look at provide to maintain the lake as itself as being an attraction, not being any of the problems. Boulders particularly, the lake at times can be a very, very hazardous place for small boats to be. On the ocean, some boats would be better off where you've got the longer troughs between waves. But on a lake here, you get a very sharp, definite chunk, and people don't know how to handle that. They don't come into the ocean, they don't confuse sound. Places where you don't get long, violent winds, there's developed some problems with boats and with people driving the boats, and they need a place to be able to get off the lake or have a service available to them. Something we provided was a towing service. I had a boat there for a while that I went out when people had problems with engine failures and whatnot, bringing them back in again, getting them off the lake, and then the gas situation was mentioned. It's kind of a critical point to a small boat, especially outboards that have a standard six gallon gas tank. And 6 gallons will get you precisely from 25 mile creek to Happily at one point. And people don't think of that. People, 6 gallons of gas, well, this lake isn't that long, and they get out there and they're just past us, and there they are. And I think every summer we've been there, we've experienced the problem of having to go out and tow people back in and get gas to. Or fortunately, they realize that the gas supply is getting very low, and they're pulling in to get gas, and they're down to the fumes. That's something that I think, for us, we had dreamed about possibly increasing the size and the services available, having the mechanic available. I do most of them, try to do most of the mechanical work down there in boats, but having a professional, or somebody that has been experienced in that field, being available to boaters. Someplace where you can get boats out of the water. I pulled out several boats that were sinking because they hit something and either knocked a hole in the hull or knocked the outdrive loose, where there was a seal around the back that breaks loose and you take on a tremendous amount of water. And that has to be something that has to be dealt with too. There's plenty of boats that sink every year out there between the Lucerne and 25 mile creek. Three last year sank. Because one of them was just somebody out of inexperience, took a small boat out above water and then we swapped it. The other problems were.
Mm-hmm.
that's just one of the things we have thought about, you know, expanding the marina services for the people so they get a chance to get off the lake and try to hold up without even having to worry about it, which includes quite a bit of dollar figures. It's extremely high for lake water and the docks and maintenance and everything we do around the water is going to be expensive. But then that aspect of it, and I think once you get them off the lake, then you have things that people like to be able to do. They like to go sit down and eat or sit down and relax and have some things, services that are there for them to take care of. Simply, we were thinking about this museum idea, getting them a kind of history of the area available and interpretive type center to see and see the natural parks. And then nature walks, possibly, you know, people to go see the area and kind of guided type of nature walk. There are some really interesting areas down there along the river that you can show the evolution of the valley and what the water does to the valley by moving rocks, things like that. To me, this was not a plan. They're making this type of thing available to people to be able. Of course, the store idea, which is pretty important, staples for campers. And something we were really excited about that I had worked with the American Youth Hostel Association for setting up a youth hostel type of thing, which was, they said there wasn't anything in the area that could feel that something was available that would attract a lot of people. And this idea that we had heard of working together and developing a trail from 25 Mile Creek up to the summit, we're going to have hiking traffic again. People need a place to stop, get to take a shower, you know, and maybe have some services available to them that they can resupply there, maybe even go on up the trail to Holden and up to Wilderness Area or even across to continue in the National Park. Those types of services are available in the valley. And kind of gives it the location of Lucerne on the lake, and even in North Central Washington, it makes it kind of an ideal spot for providing those types of services. So it was some of the things we were considering getting into hostel type accommodations where it may cost there was a different cost of, you know, $250 a night for a bed and a shower, something along those lines, you know, within the people can afford it on the whole.
How many people did you haul up and down the road?
This last year it was just slightly over 1,000. And every year, every 3 years, this is right around 950 or so a year. Mostly one way, you know, people from Lucerne to Holden catch a trail here and go up over to Heaton or to Darrington. People from Darrington coming across here and playing to catch a boat to get back down the transportation to land. Which was so even a trail situation, you need 1,000 people up.
A lot of people.
A year. But over 100 days, you know, we operate the taxi service a little over 100 days, and if you divide that out, even taking the weekends consideration, you know, it's a steady traffic flow, I would say, on the average. During the week, so you know, 3 or 4 people a day, and the weekends, there would be 15 or so.
So that averages out about 10 a day.
Yeah, it's a smooth flow, too. It's not a great influx, you don't get 50 or 60 people at a time. But we haven't yet. I can see the day when maybe if it's 50 or 60 people get off the boat, one and go to Holden for hiking.
When they finish that park, the 25 Mile Creek, they're going to get probably quite a few more people.
Yeah, they've got a 25 Mile Creek Resort. I don't know if you realize it, the state park owns all that land down there. And they're projecting out in within 10 years or so of developing that into a, which will be the largest state park in Washington. This might be over 640 acres of camping sites, trailer sites, and whatnot, which, when you think of how many people you can get in an area like that, it could be anywhere from 6,000 to 8,000 people on a Friday weekend. So some of those people will be walking, some of them will be boating. You know,
that's why we're thinking of putting up a hamburger stand in our parking lot.
That brings up one thing. I would hope that there wouldn't be a whole lot of commercial, you know, type things going on in this area.
Hey, there's got to be. The first thing we ought to think about, our first priority in this area should be the public. Secondly, priority should be programming. because that, in my opinion, the CERN is there for some. That's originally what it was there for. And I don't think we should be cutting down services down in the public for programming. Because we've got Holden Village for programming.
The other thing to consider is that, you know, nothing can be done unless it's financially feasible. I mean, you know, that's sort of a baseline again. But it's great to say that you're not going to have commercialism, but unless you have some income from something, you can't expect all gifts. No, it won't be possible to do as much down there with gifts, probably because of the public aspect of it than it is up here.
It may on the capital,
yeah, or
for development.
And
but from that on, it probably won't.
Yeah, and this is why I still think that it's exciting. Like even with the youth hostel idea, now that they're probably in the next 5 to 10 years, there wouldn't be enough people coming through there to write off the construction of the youth hostel down there. They just didn't. The Forest Service realizes this. And, they're pretty realistic. They realize that no commercial outfit could go down there and make a go of it because there just isn't that much business in a sense. You can't develop it, put in new facilities, or even maintain existing facilities unless people are, you know, there and really making use of it. And so this is, I think, one reason why they're excited about, you know, our being involved, and why also we're excited about being involved is because we can justify some facilities down there, like for winter, the potential of programming for winter when nobody has been using the lake at all. Now that could change in the next, you know, 10, 20 years, but right now even Stehekin is, you know, is very seldom used in the wintertime. And the CERN, you know, hasn't really been open in the wintertime. So the village might be able to justify putting in some capital expenditure down there for programming in the winter, which then becomes available, you know, to the public in the summer. And this dual aspect, again, is I think what's really exciting about it, that we have something available to us for our needs, and yet we can offer something to the public that couldn't be offered if it was strictly on a commercial, you know, basis.
It seems to me there's two big concerns of people, me included, about the CERN. One is being able to serve the public and being a good place for that, and also maintaining a balance to preserve the wilderness. And that's one thing that's really important. To me, it's important. And I think that needs to be really thought out for any big development survey.
That's one thing that the Forest Service addressed in their, when they had the floor at the January 10th meeting, is that one of their suggestions or criteria would be that of course anything that's built down there would fit into the environment. Also that it be built as far away from the lake, you know, as possible, so you're to try to guarantee the integrity of the wilderness from the lake. As you're going up on the lake, you may not be able to see anything, and it's only after you get off the boat and start hiking in the Lucerne area when you discover that, you know, there's a facility there of, you know, whatever it might be. And
speaking of that, I was thinking this is pretty specific, but I think Lucerne, one of Lucerne's greatest resources is those rocks. And I think at least the museum ought to be built up out of those rocks. And there's tons of rocks down there. And that would be something that would blend in pretty well. Mm-hmm.
Logs and rocks together.
Well, that's in one of our earlier pieces or materials that we've put out. This is what we said, that construction would involve logs and rocks. Mm-hmm. And some of the work that Art Brevik has done for us already, he has some really exciting ideas of some camping type modules. But, you know, nothing down there would, in other words, we wouldn't take the bulldozer down there. In fact, that might be the first thing to decide, that the bulldozer never gets down to a certain thing. Mm-hmm. So you don't start, you know, pushing all the rocks to one side or anything, but that you have little, you know, wooden boardwalks that wind in and around the big boulders, you know, and mm-hmm. then you come upon your little camping module, you know, mm-hmm. and things like this, so that you try to preserve the integrity of the area to the greatest extent. Mm-hmm. And there's not going to be a clearing of the of those sediment, all the rocks or anything like that.
No, but just to use them. I mean,
Construction,
it's
right,
true
yeah.
that rocks don't grow back again like trees might.
I think down there they do. You have to dig one up and buy more.
If you do run short down there anytime in the future, I will give you some for my Land Rover.
As is where.
Well, you know, stone houses are definitely in fashion nowadays anyway, too, and that could be part of, you know, the ecology thing.
I think you can be sure that nobody important would want to profane the environment down there. But even if we did, there's no chance that you'd do it. The very first statement I saw in the whole thing from the Forest Service tells all the ways in which you have to hide things you can't see from the lake, so that it does not disturb the view of the place. Now, that has to be compromised out, of course, with how do you serve the public and leave it unchanged? You can't do it. Mm-hmm. But it has to be done with some sensitivity to the aesthetics of it and to keeping it from being some garish, flashy resort sort of a place that it could become. And I suspect if it had to go the commercial route and to make it pay, that's what would have to be done. Somebody would have to come in there with $500,000 and build a modern resort kind of a place you're going to attract enough people in there to make it pay on a commercial basis.
Well, especially, travel
yeah.
especially on a type of basis like we were operating, basically a three and a half, four month type basis. And we looked at it, projected it out, the type of development that you have to do. And this is why we gave it up, is we would have to go so commercial and so high, you know, offer so many high things like your cocktail lounges and stuff like that to attract the people with the money to spend it fast, spend a lot of it, move on, have a bunch come in, spend a lot of it, just to make it break even for over the 3 month period. You can't, you know, people right now are in usage of the area, even the Chelan, it's empty. It's not going to grow within enough time when you put money into it to bring them back. You know, a large commercial basis can make it pay, you know. You're going to have to do it that way. So that's why we gave up on that type of idea. It's going to have to keep it small, you know, it's going to have to go on. Putting a small amount of money at a time, keep things natural, keep things, you know, small enough that they can be efficient working.
One thing that also is potential down there, again, to serve the public and have some fun and to provide a ministry, in quotes, to the public is the people who come up just for the day on the boat, you know, the transit work. The most of the year, at least, you know, the vast majority of people just go right on the seat and without, you know, giving any thought or watch Pat Lucerne or, you know, blow on the lake. And there's a tremendous potential there to provide things, because at Lucerne, they could get off the boat and be there for 3 hours, whereas if they go on up just a weekend, they're only there for an hour and a half, a little bit more. And to have some, you know, fun educational things at Lucerne, where at least it gives an alternative. You know, we wouldn't be trying to steal business from Stehekin, but we would be, you know, offering alternatives. And this is one thing that the resort owners in Chelan are concerned about. But right now, you know, Stehekin has been offering a great deal, and they don't have a lot of place to say, well, you know, if you come to our place, you know, like the Cannons were mentioning, that, you know, they really can't recommend, you know, where you can go up lake to do something. And so that this was their first concern when they heard the Golden Village is going to become involved. They thought, well, now you're eliminating Lucerne. And, you know, what are we going to do as resort owners down in Chelan? We won't have any place to recommend people to, you know, go up lake. So that they were, you know, glad too to hear that we might be developing something that would attract more people.
We don't have a waterfall.
There's waterfalls back there. You just have to go there.
Yeah, some real
legends
back there.
We
got to put a
feather
knife
in the
waterfall.
Yeah, sure. But this thing of water is just mentioned. I think it's a very important part of the opportunities that are down there. We should take it very seriously. There's a 3 hour period there. Now, if they go on up the lake, what they do is see the average person is simply seeing a little bit more of the same. And they're almost you know, that's a long trip up the lake already. So from here to Skowhegan and back, they're not seeing all that much more. There is the waterfalls for those people who go up there. But we could, with some good thought, provide a 3-hour period during which they could have lunch, but also a life-enriching experience in that 3 hours.
Well, you can go to Donkey and back in 3 hours and have lunch all the same. I've done it.
Along that line, too, and along the line of the whole fostering of the arts that was it's been mentioned before, this idea of having some cottage industry type things, some craft activities going on. You know, a potter, a weaving studio, an artist studio, a sculptor studio, and that kind of thing, which sort of caters to first trade, but it's also a real fostering of craft. And there are a lot of people that would give anything to turn Holden into a craft center.
In fact, this is one idea that we've had, is that, like, you build a fun little facility that might have three modules. And one would be a pottery shop, a weaving shop, a sculpture, maybe one would be photography, you know. Mm-hmm. And you'd have the program set up so that maybe for 2 years, the first year, you would invite an artist in and say, you know, there's no cost to you. You be here, you get a percentage of what you sell. We take care of your room and board so that you actually have no expenses. You know, so you have a place to work, you have the public to sell to, and you get, you know, 2 years to expose yourself, and then you move on and let somebody else come in.
More job than exposing yourself. Don't let that be recorded, that's the idea you thought while I was director of the village.
May I suggest that what we would like to have you do is give us some more thought now and put it kind of on the front burner. Werner's going to be involved in some conversations in Washington that are not unrelated to this whole thing, and maybe another night we can get into that a little bit too. But and then the next meetings are coming up rapidly, and we would like very much to have additional ideas. Now, why don't you just take a few days to think it over, let it cook, and ideas, and talk about it, and among yourselves. If something comes up that you would like to suggest, either put it in writing or bring it into another meeting like this after, let's say, about 10 days or so. That's nice of you.
As the development of this occurs, and whatever eventually is going to turn out to be, what is Tom able to have a place in the development of this, you know, to be able to see his dreams and Holden's dreams, per se, be built into something? Is he going to be encouraged to have a hand in it, or is it specifically Holden Village taking over?
Well, I don't think it's Holden Village taking over. I think it's they and Holden, you know, the former concerners are to Holden Village, mm-hmm. and then now it's Holden Village developing it. And Mike Griffin has been involved with the village since 1963. In fact, I first met him one of the first years that I was up here. And so he's been involved in Holden since, you know, as long as most people have. And both Mike and Tom will continue to be involved in Holden the same way that everybody else is involved. Mm-hmm. And but I don't think that, and I'm sure that Tom would agree with it, that the gift was an outright gift, and there were no strings attached that says that, you know, if they give it to us, then they'll have the inside track on their ideas or anything like this.
Yeah, no, that's not what I'm picking at. Is would Holden Village, say, encourage Tom to stay on until they get the development well underway as being possibly a caretaker, having the previous knowledge of how everything operates, you know, what the problems are, towing people in off the lake, the hazards of this and the hazards of that, you know. Would he be encouraged to help and that standpoint of possibly overlooking
some things? In fact, this is one reason why he's up here now, that he has the offer right now from us to work with John on the boat this summer and possibly be involved in some things down 25 miles, partially because we're not really sure how we're going to staff this room this summer. Mm-hmm. If we don't have a taxi service, if we can't get insurance, then the only thing that we would be doing down there would be selling gas and having a store. And we're not exactly sure how we're going to stand for it all.
Things as specific as that probably are simply going to be evolved as we move along, mm-hmm. and where there are places or individuals such as Tom and Tina there are so very important to us. We all are fully appreciative of that. But that will have to be settled out on the basis of what is good from everybody's point of view, and what is significant and what is meaningful to everybody. But it's premature now to start thinking about ways in which that might be carried out, because we don't know enough about what's going to happen on it and what the time schedules are.
We've got to get the ideas from everybody in the next, in fact, really, probably the most development on the whole concept would come prior to the 1st of June, so you know, that isn't very long. And that isn't, doesn't mean that it has to be finalized at that time, but the Forest Service realizes that from June until really through September, they don't have any time, and we don't have any time. And if we want to get this plan completed before the end of the year, that most of it's going to have to be done prior to June. So this is why we're anxious to get a lot of input right now. And that plan, of course, can be altered over the years, even as things go along. But we want at least the basics, you know, down on paper, so that hopefully we could begin development, you know, during 1979. That would be the earliest that really any development could start, because we're looking at this year for the concept, and then of course, if they offer a long-term lease, that would be starting in January of 1979, and then with the winter season, it would be, you know, April or May before we would be able to begin any development down there. So that's really the soonest that any development could begin.
There are a few principles I'd like to just suggest in closing here. One is that Holden, as it operates in the village, and whatever future we have on that geography below the lake will be complementary to each other and not some way of simply expanding this. Mm-hmm. That's, I think, principle number one. That along that line, the complement to Holden's program will be largely involved with serving the public in one way or another. But that it will not be simply a service to the public, otherwise we could let somebody else go with it, and we wouldn't apply our kind of commitment to that project. But here's where words like salt, like leaven, I think, become important inputs and values in what is being done down there in serving the public. Now, a third thing is that any financial implications will be minimal as far as the village operation is concerned. It could be that the village will want to do a little bit in helping to get things started, but that thing's got to carry itself down and not be a way in which another sap off resources from here in order to do something down there. Now, on startup things, there may be some way in which there's some kind of involvement. But we're not going to jeopardize the village operation in order to do a new thing down below. There are some ways, however, in which the new thing down below could be of great significance financially to the village in the future. For instance, if the energy crunch is what I guess all of the experts agree it's going to be, there will be some considerable savings in not having to tote everything up the hill and down the hill. We can perhaps have maintenance facilities and things like that down below. We can also, if it is necessary in the future, and if we can't get adequate electric power up here, we may be able to do much of that which is done in the wintertime down below and save a lot of money. With fuel costs being what they are now, and maybe even not even available to us in the future. It could be an important thing in keeping the village, the financial integrity of the village intact. Now, that's down the road a ways, but perhaps not so awfully far. But we may have to think in terms of that kind of crunch. But I think it's important that we understand that nobody is suggesting that we put any kind of, put the village operation in jeopardy for the sake of the new. And that just will not be done. I think it's a great opportunity. We are, of course, very grateful to Tom and Mike, those who have given us this gift, and to the Forest Service that in such a cordial way has cooperated with the development. And it kind of looks like maybe God is opening doors once again for Golden Velvet to do some things that can be exciting and meaningful and significant. We don't have to dash into it like we thought we were going to have the last July. Winter will remember the headaches that we had when we were confronted with coming up with a long-range plan that could be in their hands by October, from July to October, and there was just no way in with Werner's long history and the thorough understanding of the way in which these people and everything operate. Even he couldn't pull that rabbit out of the hat in that kind of time and come up with anything but a crash program that we might regret otherwise. Now that has changed and everybody has relaxed and calmed down, and there's a year in which we can do some good, solid developmental things. And you can be a valuable part of that if you'll put this as one of your concerns and prayer and thinking and pass on some ideas, okay? And we'll get together again after the temperature.